You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Host of the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode with a very good old friend because he was ribbing me about my gray hairs, Mr. Scott Little. How are you, Scott?
Good, brother. How about you?
You know what? I see more and more gray hairs in my beard, and I get a lot of grief from both my mom and my girlfriend about my gray hairs, but you know what? I think it makes me look distinguished.
Hey, you know, whatever helps you sleep at night, buddy.
How are you doing? And tell me what the latest is with family, music, writing. Tell me what is the latest with you?
Man, fantastic. The most important thing is on Thursday, my daughter will be 6 years old.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so that's pretty awesome. We're gearing up for that. We're just gonna wake her up on Thursday morning and go. Happy birthday. Get in the car. We're going to the aquarium.
Oh, that's awesome.
She has no idea. We'll tell them.
That's awesome. So it's a surprise.
It is.
That's amazing.
We make a memory instead of a Barbie doll or something or whatever. Yeah.
A friend of mine, he used to surprise his kid. He would drive him like he was going to school, and then he'd just keep driving and take him to Disneyland or some amusement park. So they think that it's totally normal. And then they're just like, oh, my God, I get to ditch school.
Disney World's about 6 hours away. The aquarium's two. So.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. What's
good.
Atlanta or where is that?
Yeah, in Atlanta.
That's amazing. And she's going to love that. She's just
She's in her aerial mermaid phase. So she's she'll dig it.
That's amazing. Does she have a favorite sea animal right now?
Well, I mean, turtle is her thing. So,
does Scott have a favorite sea animal?
whatever that crab is
in Little Mermaid.
No, Moana. I'm shiny.
Yep. Did you see the new one yet?
No, I haven't.
I need to see the new one, but the old one is very good. So are you writing songs these days? Are you?
Well, I'm always writing. I mean, writers always write.
Right.
So I'm always, working on a lyric of some sort. What I do now is I jot down the idea, whatever lyric might come to mind around that idea. And then I just leave it. I just build those up. And right now I've got, I just released a record back in October and then had a little bit of a re-release because I then got it pressed on vinyl. So got a little sort of a resurgence there with that record. And I'm just so proud of it. And but also have a full band record that's about two female vocal parts away from being done. And so we're going to, I sent you two of those songs that record hadn't come out yet, but it will.
That's going to be exciting for you to like be on the edge of one release and on the edge of another release. That I've never done that. And that,
yeah,
taking 2 years, I assumed, like cumulative, like at the same time. How did it work where you were able to time it that way?
I wrote this batch of songs kind of all in one sort of, once I started, writing, I wrote the acoustic record and this band record really intertwined. I was just, writing a lot and, I would go, ooh, this one, This one is for my band. Oh, this one doesn't fit the band. And that's what led me to make an acoustic record. I've always wanted to, and I wrote these songs, you know. And
yeah.
When I was on the cusp of it last time I was out of your house, and Pedal Steel had just, I had just gotten it. First time I ever played it live was at Hotel Cafe.
Right.
Or I was on the beginning of writing all this stuff.
It's closing, right? You know, it's closing.
Yes.
It's moving locations, but it's the location you played at, the iconic one. I'm glad you played it while we were doing it.
Yeah, man. Right.
Moving locations. So it's kind of a bummer. You know, you would have liked this, but David Ryan Harris, like, he said something really beautiful. He played one of his last shows there. And he said, you know, I really grew up in this venue. He said, I did a lot of things in my life, but I really feel like as an artist, I grew up in this venue. And he actually wept. He wept because he was emotional about, like, what he'd gone through in this venue as an artist, as a man, as a, you know, just a performer. And it was cool. So I'm glad you were in that venue, because now it's moving and it's going to have a new energy, which will be cool. And I'll have you at that one too. But
yeah.
Glad you did it there.
Right.
But I remember when you wrote that song, Pedal Steel.
Yeah.
You were coming out with these records. And I think the Bruce Springsteen Nebraska record was like a big influence on the acoustic record. Is that right?
No, not directly. I love that record. And I love the idea that Bruce played in a band, but his narrative, folky side had a home too.
Right.
And so with this, you know, and sort of what I've done with this is the same thing. Is the band record I'm releasing under a different name.
That's cool.
That way, I mean, that way both of these works of art, if I can call them that, or collection of art, can operate autonomously, you know, and they get their own due.
Like Scott Little Band, is that what the band?
No, it's called the Central State Music Company.
Oh, that's cool. Tell me about the name of this band. Right.
So in the town where I'm from, we had one of the world's largest insane asylums. It was called Central State Hospital. So, and then we are the central part of Georgia. So it seemed fitting. Because you got to be crazy to get in, you know, so you got to be crazy to dream. You got to be crazy to get in this line of work. And
you know, I have a lot of the same gripes when it comes to the music industry. And I have a drummer I play with, and he's maybe 10, I think he's 10 years older than me. And he said, man, you know, I used to have a lot of those gripes too, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And he's like, man, just the fact that we get to play music, that's a joy, because we don't have hard labor. We're not building like huge buildings, or we're not like doing this kind of labor that's like really difficult, you know, where it's hard work. And it's like, when you play music, that's the joy right there. And it's like, it's easy for us to complain about who's listening, how are they listening, how are we getting paid, where's the next gig.
Speak for yourself. I'm a landlord, so I build things.
Right.
I do all that work myself. So
right.
But you're so right, Niggy. In the best part about sort of where I'm at now in life, you know, obviously the younger version of ourselves, you know, you think about the business, and you know, I think as new artists or budding songwriters and singers and art, you know, and all that, you kind of get caught up in what success is. And it's the layman definition of, you know, you're on the radio, you're in videos, and you're rich and famous, you know. And for me, I never craved that as much as I craved enough notoriety to guarantee that I never had to do anything but play music for the rest of my life.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to make music for the rest of my life. And so that's ultimately what I was always after. And it, you know, there's probably things in the business I missed because of thinking about it that way. But it also allows me to you know, big inspiration coming out of my, out of, you know, I had a stroke. So coming out of that stroke and then, and being, my daughter was two. And so
crazy.
I tell you what my focus became, number one is writing, but, it's always been a focus, but documenting these songs for her to have when I'm gone, she can put on a collection of dad's stories. And, so that's really, really, really re-energized me for, you know, getting back out, you know, and touring some. And, you know, I've kind of, it's probably like, I don't want to go tour. I want to stay home with my kid. And, but man, I'm kind of falling in love with it again, the way I did when I was, you know, a teenager. So
I love that you said that also, because Glenn Hanser just died, you know, and I met him at Bonnaroo and he was really kind, like really a good dude. And he has a 3-year-old son. And like the fact that his son doesn't really know him in the way that he probably will through his songs, it was like heartbreaking. But it's also like, man, some people's parents pass and there's no thing like that, that they get to hear them alive or see them in that same state, maybe a picture, but it's not the same. Whereas like what we do is we leave life in these songs. Like we leave a piece of our life in these songs, and we may be disgruntled as to like how many people are listening or how many people are watching or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, that's like the most beautiful thing about exactly what you just said. It's like, we're leaving a time capsule. We're documenting these things. Did the record or the recording process become more nostalgic and more sentimental as you were doing it? Were you thinking about that consciously as you were doing it? Because of
no, no, it was just it probably how it moved inside of me, performance wise in the studio. I did the acoustic record, which is called Home Again, under my own name. I did that with John Driscoll Hopkins. He's a founding member of the Zac Brown Band. John and I tried to make a record with him in my, you know, way back in my early 20s. And at that time, looking back, I wasn't ready. We didn't finish the record. But, it's always been in the back of my mind to go do a record with him. And then, he was diagnosed with ALS. Wow. And so I'd seen on Instagram, like he did an interview and I was like, it was the first time that I felt like you could see the ALS and it was just starting to affect his speech a little bit. And I said, well, this timing was perfect. I'd written these songs and I needed a place to put them. And I thought, I'm going to make a record with John. I've told myself I was at some point going to go back and make this record that I never really got to finish with him. And it's just, I guess, fortuitous, I guess. And so I got to celebrate a man that I have an immense amount of respect for. He is incredibly talented. And, he's been a friend for almost 30 years. I introduced him and Zach. And wow. Zach was looking for a place to make a record. And I was doing mine with John. I said, I got to get you guys connected. And so I did. And so he was a part of my circle for a long time. And obviously he got busy with Zach and I moved out of Atlanta. And so we just weren't interacting every day, but we text every so often. So I went and made this record with him and I'm as proud of his work on this as my own. And so
play on it.
What's that?
He played guitar. What did he play?
No, he sang on a couple of, but he engineered it and mixed it.
Amazing.
And co-produced it with me. I mean, it was, it was a great story. It's a song called Pedal Steel. on there, which is my favorite song on the record. It's the one we just spoke about.
Yep.
So, you know, we did everything to a click track, and against my better judgment, he talked me into it, and he was right. I was wrong on that one, you know. But on Pedal Steel, I said, John, I don't want a click track. This is gonna push and pull, you know, probably push in the chorus a little bit, but pull back.
Right.
There's a certain thing about the song, the performance, that a click track, in my opinion, would ruin. And so I'd like to just play and sing it at the same time. And no overdub. So, you know, and John's like, all right. So, so I played it and sang it. And he comes over the top back and says, well, what was wrong with that? I was like, nothing. He said, absolutely nothing. and then he goes, wait a minute. So the vocal mic wasn't on.
Oh, wow.
So the track on the record is me performing it one time, and it all captured through the guitar mic.
Wow.
So if you listen to that record, that one sounds different than the rest, and that's why. But for me, it was the performance. I was like, if we can save that performance, I don't want to do it a second time.
Right. But,
you know, because, you know, the first time is creation, and every time after that's recreation, right?
That's true.
So I wanted, it was really important I kept it. And John worked the magic and did it.
Well, let's play one of them tracks. What do you want to play first?
So do you, what do you want, one of the John record, or do you want one off the new one that's not out yet?
Let's do the acoustic record, the acoustic one first. Which one's that one?
Oh, it's Brand New Morning.
All right, here's Brand New Morning by Scott Little.
Tell the story that you don't want me to read. It starts at the beginning, for there ever was you and me. You're trapped there in the details. You'll get out eventually. And I long for the day you, I love you differently. Tomorrow's a brand new morning, another chance to look around, to let go of all your mourning and revel in the sound of a better way and a better day. I promise you it's coming. Tomorrow's a brand new morning. When she pushed you downstairs, did you hit the bottom? Looks to me that that's just as far as you've got. But you don't have to win. This is not a race. You deserve everything good and a soft smile on your face. Tomorrow's a brand new morning, another chance to look around, to let go of all your mourning and revel in the sound of a better way and a better day. I promise you it's coming. Tomorrow's a brand new morning. Our little girl's eyes are filled with hope and wonder. You think you're gonna kill it, but you won't. It's just harder for you to wrestle the devil that you know than it is the one you don't. Tomorrow's a brand new morning, another chance to look around, to let go of all your mourning and revel in the sound of a better way and a better day. I promise you it's coming. Tomorrow's a brand new morning. Tomorrow's a brand new morning. Tomorrow's a brand new morning. I'll see you in the morning.
Scott, that was awesome. I got to tell you, that's one of my favorite songs you've written, man.
Thank you. That's for my wife.
Great song, man. Just, I still got chills, man.
Well, wow. That was the first song when I wrote that song. I went, "Oh boy, I think I'm gonna write a record." And
wow,
that was the first one written for that record. And I wrote that about my wife's postpartum, and just watching her fight really hard against it, and it would cause her to kind of double down on herself a little bit. And it was a rough year, and. But she's a great mom, and she powered through it, and certainly came out better for it. But I'll tell you the coolest moment I've ever had in music, or might even be in life, was I get in the we're going to eat or something. I don't remember where we're going, but I get in my wife's van, and we're riding, pull out of the driveway or whatever. And my daughter says, "Hey, mommy, we played the daddy songs." And, so she said, "Sure, baby. Which one?" "I want a brand new morning."
That's awesome.
But my daughter sang all the words.
Wow.
To hear my kid sing the words to a song I wrote about her mama.
Yeah, that's awesome. That gave me chills.
Yeah, dude. I just don't know that I'm ever going to do anything any cooler than that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's magic right there.
Yes.
You must have listened to every word on bated breath, too, that she was singing. It was just like.
That was right.
Yeah, right.
And then when she got the chorus loud and proud, you know?
Yeah, right.
I hope it's okay to drink on the show.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You know what? It's
sparkling water.
Right. Didn't have to be. With something like that too, it's so delicate, with postpartum depression and the things that come with it. And it's amazing that you kind of put a spotlight in a beautiful way to kind of point her and you in a like moment of light, bring some light to the situation with a song. And I'm sure it was healing for her to hear that. And also healing for you to kind of write it, you know. Tell me what that experience was for you, like writing the song to her and delivering it.
Well, if I'm being honest, I was scared to play it for her.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just laid bare something, something very personal for her.
Right.
You know, a song that I'm going to go play for people and put on a record. And,
right.
At the time, there wasn't like, I'm going tomorrow to put it on a record, but you gotta be careful around a songwriter. You just never know, what you say or what you do winds up in a song. And but there are some things in there that were probably hard for her to hear, maybe hard for me to say. So I was real nervous, real, real, real nervous to play that one for her. And So it was, but it's been cathartic. She's good with me being honest about the story. And
well, it's also like cool, like, you know, when we're younger, and, you know, I can say this because we were both friends when we were writing younger songs.
Mm-hmm.
About a relationship that's not working. It's usually about, you know, moving on from like the old nest to a new nest, or finding your nest, you know, or, and just going through the transition of life. And as an older songwriter, we tend to put a light on how that person that we spend life with, how that person makes us feel, or the things that we can go through with that person to heal. You know, and it's like,
yeah.
But it's like, that's growing up as a songwriter. It's like, it's not the same. You're not going to write about the same things because you're going through different emotions. You're going through like growing pains. You're going through different life experiences. I mean, now you have a kid. It's like, now that's going to inspire songs out of you in a different way. And, you know, you're going to look at like family life in a different way than maybe you did when you were, you know, a young 22-year-old songwriter. You know, it's like,
well, you know, if I was, you know, obviously music has changed since I started, and you know, it used to be about record deals and booking agents and radio and those sort of thing. I mean, you know, selling product. I mean, I'm selling a CD and,
yep,
you know, getting cuts on other people's records and songwriting money and all that. And man, I could I have ever written a song like that if radio was a factor?
Right. Right.
You know, maybe not. And yep.
Target changed, you know, it's like, even if radio was a factor, your target changed as you grew into yourself, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, I've always been probably, I was in the business. I mean, look, and for a long time, I did the Nashville co-write thing and all that, swinging for the fence. You get a hook and you go try to write that hook and think about radio. And I love that. I don't begrudge it. It's a, you know, if somebody said, "Hey, Scott, I got a hook and we're writing for radio or for a specific artist," you know, I just get to exercise my creativity in a different angle. And, right, and I love it. And there are some really great writers that do it that way. And then there's other writers that, you know, don't co-write at all, you know, and these two records, there's only two co-writes. And it's because those were old songs that I brought back, that I dug out for the record. But everything else is, I wrote on my own. And so it's just different perspective because my goal is different. And
well, I like that, you know, I always like songwriters when they're writing about their lives, not writing for the charts. Even now when I hear
a writer, that's all I know how to do, Nikki.
No, but those are my favorite songwriters. It's like, I don't care about the charts. It's like, you can't tell me that a song for the charts is going to speak to me more, you know, than a song that's about what the songwriter is going through. You know what I mean? I feel like,
or something we see. I'm pointing at this camera.
That's all right.
But you know, or something we see. I mean, like when I was in town, you and I wrote that tune and "Be Where Your Feet Are," I believe. And
yes,
I mean, we met a girl in a coffee at a breakfast spot. And she's just sharing her story, and we get to talking about that, and we write about our perspective of what someone like that just coming to a town like Hollywood,
right,
and how that might would affect her. While it's not about our lives, we got a little sneak peek into hers and just wrote it from our perspective, you know. So,
well, those are my favorite kind of songs where it's like observational, or it's kind of like first person, you know, going through the thing, or third person, whatever it is. But I like those songs. And you know, I'll say this now. I like those songs better now than maybe in my 20s when I was thinking about the charts. And then you realize, man, I'm just looking for songs that speak to me, that make me freeze in my tracks, that make me just pause and think, this is a great song. You know, and it's funny. I was watching the movie La Bamba the other day. because it's the 40th anniversary of that movie. Oh. And I was listening to the song We Belong Together. And I was like, man, this was written. It wasn't even his song, but Ritchie Valens covered it. And it's probably 60, 70 years old. It's 70 years old. And it hit me in a way that I was like, this is such a well-crafted song. It's kind of unreal how good this song is and why it's so powerful and the way it was constructed. I mean, it was on repeat.
I bet it was three chords in the truth.
Yeah, three chords in the truth. That's what I'm saying. And it just, and you know what the weird thing is, like, I was producing a record this last week and I started playing like Ritchie Valens chords and ideas because of how that was affecting me and my output was being affected. So it's like, whatever you're listening to is going to come out in your output, but it's also like, as a songwriter, whatever you're going through is going to come out in your output. And those are the songs that resonate with me because I want to know about people's stories through song. It's like, I want to know, like, you're going through a downward spiral or you're going through an upward, you know, like upheaval in a cool way, you know, just by what you're writing about, because that gives me like perspective on the life experience. And I think as I get older, that's more important. It's like knowing the life experience. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next? I want to get to all
this. Suzanne, I've always been a heavy-handed narrative type writer, even in my 20s. That was what I was shooting for. And so Guy and Susanna probably falls right into that. So,
all right. And tell me one more time, what's the name of the band? And let's talk about what went into the song first before we play
it. All right. So the name of the band is the Central State Music Company. Guy and Susanna is about one of my favorite songwriters, Guy Clark. And Guy and Susanna was his wife, and she was a painter and a songwriter herself. And they were married, and but Towns Van Zandt was their roommate, you know, before and after the wedding. Wow. And so and Susanna had a tape recorder, and she would – and everybody'd gather around and talk. She'd record record the conversations. And so there is a documentary called Without Getting Killed or Caught. And it's about them, is based on those tapes. Wow. And so in watching it, what you're watching is their love story. And you know, in watching how they came together, they were apart for 6 years. They had separated, never divorced, and then they came back together. And you know, the interesting thing is there's talk that Towns was her real soulmate and Guy knew it, you know, and it was just it's a very complicated relationship, but also very simple. And there, am I allowed to cuss on this interview?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a quote, you know. He talks about he and Susanna in the early days and how, you know, oh man, she painted, but she wouldn't wash her fucking brushes. And so, he just wouldn't wash the brushes. So then they're late at the end of it. She has passed. And they're interviewing him. He's talking. He's looking back. He's talking. And it might be about, there's a song he wrote called My Favorite Picture of You. And he's talking, I think he's talking about the picture. But you know, he rolls his own cigarettes. And he was just like, and she wouldn't wash the fucking brush. And I was like, oh, there's something here. And so this song was born out of, I watched a documentary about three times or so, maybe four. And their story just hit me in a way, and this song poured out. And there's some, if you're familiar with Guy and Susanna, there's some writing in the bridge that most folks probably wouldn't understand, but there's a line in the bridge where it says, It's like, tonight I'm going to roll one, sit back and play one, call out to the muse. Let her paint me like Picasso and flowers in a creosote. But the lights of town, she'll paint those blue. Well, town's Van Zandt.
Right.
Is referencing. And he had this saying that was, there's heaven, hell, purgatory, and the blues. I've always lived in the blues, just reaching up for hell. And so that's kind of a nod to him in that. And so if you're a Guy fan, and then you probably would get it. But and I might have just ruined it because I explained it. But
no, it's all right. Let's hear it. Here's Guy by Central State Music Company.
Six a.m. some sleepy town. The fog ain't so low I could pull it down. The streets are quiet as I pass through. Not sure what I'm running from or to. Roll the window down, light a smoke. Listen to the wheels whine against the road. My eyes are heavy, both hands on the wheel. I'm holding out for something real. Just like Guy and Susanna, a master's brush on a virgin candle. A single kiss that stops me where I'm standing. And I long for love like Guy and Susanna. Whiskey neat in a hotel bar. Then an empty bed with an empty. Fall asleep to the TV light. One day I'm gonna get it right. Just like Guy and Susanna, a master's brush on a virgin canvas. A single kiss that stops me where I'm standing. I long for a love like Guy and Susanna. Call out to the muse. Let her paint me like Picasso and flowers and a creosote. But the lights of town should paint those blue. But she won't even wash the goddamn brush. Just like Guy and Susanna, play the cards the master hands us. From my guitar down to her canvas, how long for love, how long for love, long for love, God. Thank you.
dope. Such a good feel with the band too, man. Tell me, like, when you do an acoustic record, there's a vibe,
and it's just,
and then when you got the band, it's like power. It's got just drive and power. Tell me, like, how you felt kind of taking the hat off from the acoustic record and putting the band hat back on when you were making it.
Well, with this particular record, because I had sort of cleansed the palate, or purged rather, that soft narrative, storyteller, songwriter thing, with this particular record, we were able to lean more into the Americana rock and roll side that we do live. And that song isn't quite that much of an example, but I played it. It wasn't even going to go on the record. I played it for Levi Lowry. He wrote Colder Weather, big Zac Brown hit. We're recording it. We did this record at his studio. And so he's co-producing it with me. And I just, from one songwriter to another, I just said, man, check out this new tune I wrote. He's like, oh, we got to record that. I'm like, nah. He's like, so we were, we were talking about what we were going to record. And he said, all right, if we get done in time, for me, I want to track that song. It's like, all right. So, and I worked faster. I mean, all that was done, there was just three of us that made the record. And I had never worked that fast in a studio as far as with the band. I mean, we were just having so much fun.
So it was just like, it was just gelling.
Yes. And so we tried to do it, and it didn't work. It didn't fly. And so I kind of was hearing it. I was just like, well, I feel like I'm hearing that I'm on fire type by Bruce Springsteen kind of vibe. And so we tried that, didn't work. And then we had, I'd done 10 songs, and I learned with the other record that I couldn't do a pre-order without having you got to have more than 10 songs to be able to do a grat track, you know, or something. So I was like, okay, we're going to do 11. So I can do that on this one. And, so we were in there and we recorded this tune, and, we had plenty of time left, and he said, man, let's try that guy Suzanne again. It's like, all right. So we did it, and it clicked, and that's what you heard.
Clicked the first time. What happened the first time
then? I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe just wherever we were at in our heads at the time, it was just it didn't happen. But, you know, that wasn't a song that we played before the studio.
Right.
And, which was the case with the majority of that record. You know, there wasn't very much that was getting played at all. There were a couple. That's turning out to be my favorite track on the record. One of my favorite tracks on the record. And just that the way it feels. And I'll be honest, what you played is not the final product. I've got to get a female voice on that chorus.
Oh, so it's not totally finished.
That was not
crazy. That's crazy. Well, it sounded amazing. I love the drum sound, dude. It's like a deeper snare. I know that was all intentional.
My drummer is like, that's the best I've ever heard my drum sound on any recording. Like, he's so excited. And
Air sound is just awesome. The way
so
just has grip, but it's got soul. It's got that country thing. It's got the songwriter thing. It's got the
story.
It hits. It slaps, as the kids
say. I mean, I feel like there's a little Mike Campbell in there somewhere, you know, on that guitar stuff, you know.
Like, I definitely got that vibe. Let's play the next one because I want to make sure we got enough time.
It's called Un-American Dream.
Let's give me a little story about it.
Man. That was the first time I ever wrote anything that had anything to do with politics.
Okay, awesome.
And it's, you know, is not very overt. I've just tried to capture how I believe a lot of our country feels, and it has no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Right.
I think this song represents how people who don't pay attention to politics feel.
Right. Love it. Here's The Un-American Dream by Central State
Music Company.
Central State Music Company.
Yep.
Great song, man. Great Thank song. You. Great vibe. That song also has a Tom Petty vibe. I mean, what's really cool is, I don't know if you see it, but I see your acoustic records being very Bruce Springsteen influenced. And this record's Tom Petty influenced, man.
Well, hey, I mean, I'll take it. Neither one of them were specific, you know, with that necessarily. There was no intention of that.
Right.
I mean, this song, I just performed the song the way I thought it was supposed to go. And that was sort of a little bit of the goal, is just lean into this and let it be whatever it wants to be. Don't overthink it. And, you know, it's kind of what we do live. You know, I might, in the studio, I might would have played a cleaner guitar sound.
No, I loved
it. Live, you know, it's got the hair on it. It's a little gritty. And so I just like, I'm going to do that. I'm not chasing radio. I'm not chasing anything specific other than just letting these songs be what they're telling me they want to be. And so if it comes out like Tom Petty, I'm not mad at it.
No, it sounds hooky and vibey and rocky and country-ish, and it's got all the elements of like all of the things that make it Americana. It's an American, you know, just like a great message, and it's just a good feel song, you know?
I'm a pretty Americana dude, so.
Where can people find you if they want to find you online, Scott?
Man, Facebook is probably where I'm most active. I have a website being built. So if you go to scottlittle.com, you won't get anything. You'll be very disappointed. I'm just letting you down so I can build you up. So, I had a website and it fell off, and, you know, I just sort of didn't have much use for it there for a few years. And, but now I'm getting geared back up, and, I got a lot of merchandise I need to have available and things. So, I got somebody working on a website right now, and then there's Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. You know, a lot of the stuff's available on YouTube.
And when's the full band record out?
Well, so I've got to find a female singer. I've got that song, and I've got one more that I want a female on. And then once those two parts are done, the record's done.
Wow.
So you probably got somebody you can probably hook me up with.
I do. If you need female singers, you let me know what you're looking for.
I'm serious. Well, let's talk about it, because I'm looking.
Yeah, man. Well, check out Scott Little's music. Check out his acoustic record on all major platforms. The band record's coming under the new name, Central State Music Company. I got it right.
That's right.
And Scott Little for the other record, correct?
Yeah.
All right. On behalf of Scott, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Scott, thanks for being a guest once again.
Man, thanks so much for having me. It's almost so much fun, and love getting to catch up with you.
Likewise. Love you, man. We'll talk soon. On behalf of Scott, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and hair grease. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.